Starting with prayer.
Absolutely. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I do come before you tonight. We love you and we thank you for being our Savior, our God, for loving us and keeping us.
Amen.
Lord, I pray you would be with Brother Bacon as he preaches tonight. Father, fill him with your Spirit. Give him wisdom and understanding that he needs. Father, give him the right words to say, that he'd be able to say everything just the way it ought to be said, and we could understand what you need us to get tonight. Father, you'd speak to our hearts and work in our lives. I pray you'd be something to edify and increase and help us, Lord, and even, Father, correct us where we need it. Lord, once again, I pray you would bless him and take care of him. We love you, and we do pray you for your soon return. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Okay, take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And got ready to head out the door coming to church this evening, and the Lord changed my introduction. First time it's happened to me, but that's okay. So we'll have to make the best of it. I just been thinking about how my church family's been going through just some trying times. And you look at look at our prayer list for the past, what, 6-8 months, year? It just seems like one thing after another, you know, people going through surgery and people dying and just things going on. So tonight I want to just brag on my Heavenly Father and look at what we have in him. And hopefully there'll be an encouragement to you. Here in 2 Corinthians, look at verse 3, chapter 1, 2 Corinthians verse 3. And Paul starts out here saying, blessed be God. Even no matter what happens, God still needs to be blessed. Blessed be God. He still is in charge. He still watches over us. He still takes care of everything. Even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. And Lord, it just seems like this church family just has needed a lot of mercy lately. And the God of all comfort. And just thinking tonight, we got a text on the little prayer chat about Jackie's mother going home and just all the things that have been going on. Gloria brought it, just Judy and everything going on. Sometimes we just need to stop and look to our Heavenly Father for some comfort, for some encouragement. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. We need to be holding each other up in prayer, you know, being there for each other, especially in times like this, just doing what we can to be a blessing, just, you know, paying attention to the cares and needs of each other, just holding each other up in prayer. And I was thinking one of the best things that we can possibly do is to, you know, is to look to God's word for the comfort of the scriptures. And like I say, God changed my introduction on me, so this is a little bit, have to be spirit-led here, but but the comfort that we find in God's word, and I'd like to take just the next few minutes and just brag on how God is so good to us and the things that we have in his word, the blessings that we find in this book that we hold in our hands, the comfort that it is. We have the very word of God. I don't know if you've ever thought about that, but it's the word that God wants us to have. It's not some thing that man has concocted, but God's thoughts, his instructions for us. I could take you back to Isaiah 55 and look at verses 6 through 12, where it speaks about how the unrighteous man needs to change his pattern of living and turn to God, and God will forgive him, how God's thoughts are higher than ours, how his ways are much higher than ours. I'm not going to do that for sake of time, but because of God's word, we can know and are assured of things that pertain to God, that pertain to godliness for this life. Now, does everybody here have opportunity to read the proverb for the day? Everybody did? Okay. I won't go back over that, but it mentions there were 5 or 6 verses in the proverb for today that actually speak about the reason for trusting in God's word, that his word is to, it builds trust in him, and we can trust in his word, and also it gives us a reason that we might have the words to answer to those that ask us about the hope that we have. And we certainly can use that to comfort each other. We can use the various verses and things that mean something to us to comfort each other with the comfort that God has given us. The things that pertain to God, to godliness. In Romans chapter 15, verse 16 and 17, don't bother to turn there. We'll try and get you out of here in a few minutes. But Paul is talking about ministering the gospel of God to the Gentiles. And he's talking about there about the because of his word that we can have the gospel of God has come to us as well as just the Jews. And Paul was busy ministering that. We can certainly minister God's word to each other. I know Brother Caleb gets up and preaches every Sunday to us, and it's a blessing. It's a blessing. The things that he's been going over lately on just the armor. And we know that, I'm not going to preach your message, brother, but just the part of the armor, God's word, is so important to us. And so the first point of this message I want to speak about is the steadfastness of God's word. That we can be assured that God isn't going to change his word. Now, some of us, I think John and Denise here, they have a certain insurance company that they thought was steadfast and going to take care of their needs. And just because they live in a certain county, the insurance company has told them that, no, we're not going to cover people in that county anymore. It's like their policy has changed. Their ideas have changed. We don't find that happening with God. And in fact, I didn't look up the reference. There was it's either in Isaiah or somewhere back in Israel's beginning. And God tells them, I think it's like 5 times, to fear him, not to be afraid of other gods. He says it in one verse, and like 3 verses later, he says it again. And then down the page a little bit farther, he says it one more time. I mean, how many times does God have to tell you? You know, it's kind of like all you parents out there with raising smaller children. At one point or another, you get kind of exasperated with them and you say, how many times do I have to tell you to do right? You know, God's word doesn't change. I didn't change my word, you know, telling you, or you didn't change your word telling your child what to do. God's word doesn't change. We have the steadfastness of his word. In Psalm 119, verse 89, you probably know the verse. It says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It's steadfast. It's secure. You can depend on it. Psalm 100, verse 5 tells us, his truth endureth to all generations. I'm going to have it. I don't have to worry about not having his truth. I have it. It endures to every generation. Turn over to 1 Peter. I know you're right there in 2 Corinthians, but turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. I want to look at several verses there in 1 Peter. Hebrews, James, Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. Starting with verse 18. And Peter, again, we see the price of our salvation here. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. That message that Paul was giving to the Gentiles, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you. Revealed. How did God reveal it? Through his word. Through his word, through preaching. Who by him who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, not in some doctrine that some man came up with, but in God's word. Moving on there. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Again, holding each other up in time of need, going through hard times, going through troubling times. Verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. Notice the next few words here. By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Isn't that kind of weird? I mean, to think this, he's speaking of this book, that it would be alive. It liveth and abideth forever. Forever. Wow. We have such an amazing God. We do. And I'm not going to take the time to go into, you know, Jesus being the incarnate word, going back to John chapter 1. We just don't have the time for that. Well, I'll let Pastor Caleb do it. He can do it. But that which liveth and abideth forever. Jump down to verse 25. We see it again. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. It wasn't some concoction that some man came up with, but it was God's word, the word that he wanted you to have in time of trouble. What a comfort that God's word is to you, that word that was preached, that gets preached here every Sunday morning and Sunday evening. I can know, that brings me to my next point, I can know and be assured of my salvation. I don't have to wander around like the Catholics do and, oh, maybe if I do this or that or somebody else, you know. I am assured of my salvation. I'm assured that Romans 10, 17 tells me that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. God didn't change that. It's not by works. It's by taking God at his word. What's that called? Faith. Amen. Faith. And applying it to my life, to your life. Not just for salvation, but in time of anything that you go through in your life. Applying his word to me. It was his word that showed me my sin and the consequence of my sin, your sin, and the consequence of your sin. Romans 3:23, and you guys know the Romans road, Romans 6:23 and so forth. It was his word that showed me God's love and the provision that he made for that sin before the world began. I didn't have to do anything about it. God took care of the whole thing. John 3:16 is one of the missionary letters that Pastor Caleb read tonight. How that verse meant something to those people. His word, it was his word that showed me the relationship that I could have with him. Ephesians 2:8-9. Only by his grace. I didn't work for it. I can't earn it. I can't brag that, hey, I earned it and you didn't. I can't do that. But I can understand because of his word, the relationship that I could have, that he would choose to adopt someone like me. You know, when you adopt a child, you adopt that child because you want that child, because you love him. It's not like... like Lauren over there praying for a baby that's going to be deliverable. You have to take what you get, Lauren. Sorry. No, God chose to adopt me, even knowing me, knowing what I am, knowing what you are. He still chose to do that. That I could be adopted. And Romans 8:15, we'll turn to that in a couple of minutes here. I've only got a couple of minutes left, but that's okay. In that passage there, or that verse there in Romans 8:15, it speaks about a unique relationship that you could have with the God of the universe. You can call him, you can refer to him as your Abba Father. An individual, intimate personal relationship between you and him. And by the way, if you're saved, don't let your relationship be just a casual one. Don't do that. Yeah. Don't do that. Make it close and personal. It was his word that showed me that I can have peace with God. Ephesians 2, 13. 13 and 14. It was his word that showed me in Colossians 1 that I can be delivered from the power of darkness. I don't have to live that way anymore, the way the world lives. I can live above that. And translated into the kingdom of his dear son, Jesus' kingdom. I didn't deserve that, but his word shows me that. It shows me the hope that I have. Ephesians 1, verse 6, his word shows me that, you guys know the verse, what is it? I'm accepted in the beloved. Amen. That I can be accepted by God in spite of what I am. Verse 13 of that same chapter tells me that I can be sealed as his forever. Forever. I don't have to worry about losing it or that he's never going to love me for it. God made it possible. It was no work of mine. And that's the third point, I think. Yeah. Oh. Yes. His word tells me that I can know and be assured of the security of being his child. I don't know if you ever thought about that before. I don't have to be like that young lady that Heather was trying to help, Alana, you know, and having such a bad situation to live in. God doesn't do that to us. I'm sure that probably everyone here knows of someone that is going through or lives in a bad home situation. Maybe they grew up in a situation like that. That's not the situation that you have. I'm sorry, the situation that you have with your Heavenly Father when you turn to him for the salvation that he provides. And I can know and have, because of God's word, the security of being his child. In Colossians 2:10, it tells me that I'm complete in him. I'm complete in him. Again, I'm not going to take the time to look at the verses. I wish I could. But turn over to Romans 8:15. Let's look at that for just a minute, and then we'll move on. And I'm almost done, by the way. Romans 8:15, turn back there. This has got to be probably my favorite verse in the whole Bible, or one of them anyhow. Romans 8:15? Yeah, Romans 8:15. Again, you probably know the verse. It says very simply, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear. I don't have to worry that my behavior is going to cause God to boot me out of the family. It doesn't work that way. His love is not conditional on my behavior, on me. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, as I just mentioned. We have a very special relationship with him. I can identify as being his child, an adopted child of the God of heaven. Yeah. Verse 17 tells me that if I'm his child, then I'm an heir. What does that mean to be an heir of God? And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. What does that mean? I don't really totally understand all of that. I know that my future is with him forever. I think Pastor Caleb, didn't you allude to that in one of your messages Sunday night? Yeah. But I know that we have some wonderful things waiting for us. We may not see them right now, but we look, you know, across the way there, and one of these days we're going to be caught over on the other side. I'm just waiting for that trumpet call, Lord, the rapture and getting out of here. But we have an inheritance waiting for us, And again, one of these days we'll see it and understand it. Look at verse 35 and 39. Just really quick here. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing will. Nothing will ever separate you from God's love. You can depend upon it. Regardless of how bad things go, how low you get, there's still God. And nothing's going to separate you from his love. Verse 39, neither height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. An unbroken love. Verses 27 and 34, something else are really special about this relationship with God. Verse 27, look at that real quick. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints. I have someone who intercedes for me. Not just the Holy Spirit, but jump down to verse 34. Christ himself. Who is he that condemneth? Who is Christ that, it is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Boy, do I need that. How many times do I mess up and I have to go to him and ask him to forgive me? Lord, I need that. I need you to intercede for me in my life, even in my prayers, you know. I need that intercession. Proverbs 18:24. You guys know that verse? He that hath a friend must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Wow. That God would choose to be my friend, or want to be my friend. You know what's weird, the way the world looks at things? The world would tell you that a man's best friend is what? A dog? You know? It's almost like they took, God says that, hey, I'll be your best friend if you want me to. And they took his name and turned it around and made that their best friend. Isn't that nuts? That's just crazy. But a very special friend that we can have with him. Hebrews 13:5. Again, you probably know the verse. It says, God tells us that he will never forsake us, never leave us nor forsake us. Always cared for. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I am always cared for by him. So are you. And verse 8 of that same chapter tells us Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. I'm glad he doesn't change. I am so thankful that his word is steadfast, that he doesn't change his mind. You know, just because we mess up and fall down and falter, he doesn't say, well, no, you're out of the family. Nope, he doesn't change. He doesn't change. The Ephesians 1:3 tells us that God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. The blessings of his word, we are so blessed. And I know we go through trying times, through hard times, but we have a great God that can get us through it. And we have each other, and we need to be holding each other up in prayer. And the comfort that God gives us, sharing with others. And I am going to quit because you've had your 20 minutes. Pastor Caleb, it's all yours. Thank you for bearing with me.